Open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. The text is in the 18th verse. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I want to preach on the theme, enemies of the cross of Christ. Now the text speaks of what Paul said, I have told you about this often when he was with them. And he says that many walk. That's just a figurative speech for living. Their practice, their life, the way they conduct themselves, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul was weeping when he was writing this to the Philippians because he knew the consequences of it. An old friend of mine who's been dead a good number of years told me that when he left for World War II and his father bid him goodbye, he said that was the only time he'd ever saw his father weep. And he was weeping because he knew the danger that he was going into. And he knew that he might be killed and not come home. That's the kind of thing Paul had in mind here when he tells them, even weeping, that you beware of these enemies of the cross of Christ. Now the cross, and we need to get this straight, is not that emblem that so many people wear as a charm around their necks or that they have in their cars or in their homes. That cross is altogether something that came after the close of the scripture in the apostolic age. The early Christians never used the cross on any building or never wore it as a charm or anything like that. When they spoke of the cross, they weren't talking about that piece of wood on which Christ was crucified. They were talking about the doctrine of the cross. That is, how God saves sinners through what Christ did on the cross. That's very important. When you see someone, and you see people do this all the time, they make the sign of the cross. They call it the sign of the cross. I don't even know how they do it. That has nothing to do with Christianity. The cross of Christ is the truth of what Christ did on the cross and why he went to the cross and why the Father received what he did on the cross. That's what the cross means in Scripture. We will cover that some more as we go through the message. Now, let's think about these enemies. Who are these enemies that Paul is talking about here? For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. The enemies here are not considered to be those false religions. We sometimes think of the religions such as Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, as being the enemies of the cross of Christ. And they may be. And in some sense, certainly the Muslims are. But that's not the kind of enemies Paul was talking about here. Totally different. Because an enemy that is over on the other side of the battlefield and he wears a different uniform than you do, you're able to recognize who he is, and you're able to oppose him. But the enemy that Paul is describing in this text are those that are within. And the worst kind of an enemy that you can have in war is when you've got one of the opposing members in your army in your uniform. During World War II, the Germans took a group of their soldiers and put them in American uniforms and had them infiltrate our lines. Those men were all captured. Do you know what they did with them? They lined them up and shot them, because it is against the rules of war to put on the uniform of an enemy. And that's what they did. They paid for it with their lives. That's the kind of enemy Paul is talking about here. These enemies that Paul's describing here in the text are those enemies that wear the same uniform that we do. They say they are Christians. They say they believe the Bible. They say they've been saved by grace, but they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So that's important for us to recognize. Now, the first thing we want to consider then is the cross of Christ. And I've already alluded to it in the introduction. But the cross of Christ is a term that stands for all that Christ is and all that Christ did by his suffering and his death and his resurrection. In fact, it is the gospel in capsule. The cross means all of the doctrine that pertains to Jesus Christ, how he came from glory to redeem his people from their sins, and how he lived a perfect life and went to the cross and suffered and died, and how he arose from the dead and went back to his Father to say, I have done exactly what you asked me to do, and now I want the reward of my labors. That's the cross of the Scripture. That's the cross that Paul was speaking about here in the text. And he said that there are enemies of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ then means the gospel. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul says here, let us read verse 15 as well. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You could actually insert the cross of Christ, for the gospel and the cross are the same thing in this sense. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is the gospel that Paul was talking about. This is the cross of Christ. And listen, when you have an enemy of the cross of Christ, it's an enemy of Christ and his gospel. Now, the word doctrine means teaching. And so when we look at the doctrine of the cross, we're looking at the teaching about the cross and what it means. And it is used in the Scriptures in this very sense. We're to be ever preaching, ever teaching about the cross of Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross. Paul wasn't talking about preaching about the wood of the cross. You know, there are groups in the world that say they have pieces of the cross. They claim that somebody went to the Holy Land and found pieces of the cross that Christ was crucified on. And they've got them all over. And if you put that all together to make a cross, it would reach from here to Indianapolis. They don't have that. But it wouldn't make a bit of difference. If you had the cross that Jesus Christ was crucified and it was lying right here on the floor today, it would not do one thing for you or any other person. It will not save a lost soul, and it will not elevate a soul that is saved, because it has nothing to do with Christ. If you want to be elevated, you look to Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, you look to Jesus Christ. The material cross will not save. So notice what he says here. For the preaching of the cross, For the doctrine of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. This is what the world does with the cross. They said, we don't have any interest in that. We don't care about it. We don't think it means anything. And we're just going to go right on by. That's what the world does. Notice then, but unto us who are saved or who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He's talking about preaching the gospel, preaching the cross of Christ. Tell me what Christ did on the cross and what he accomplished on the cross, and you preach the cross of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what every one of us need to know. Turn again with me into the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, says, but God forbid that I should glory or boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he wasn't talking about the wood. He wasn't talking about that instrument on which Christ died. He's talking about the theology of the cross, the doctrine of the cross, the teaching of the cross. That's what we need. And that's what he was preaching. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Once again, turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. That's how we are reconciled, is by the cross of Jesus Christ. What Christ did on the cross. Not the cross. Not that wooden beam or that wooden T-shaped cross. That hadn't anything to do with it. That was just the instrument. But it was by what he accomplished on the cross. That's how men are saved, and that's what we need. Now, the cross of Christ, then, is the only way that God ever saves a sinner. Get that fact. He never saves a sinner in any other way. He never has, and he never will. You want to go all the way back to the beginning and find out how those people who lived back then were saved? I'm going to tell you how it was. It was by the cross of Christ. You say, but the cross hadn't even then been invented. No, but it was in the mind of God. It had been declared from eternity before we ever created the world. And all of those people that were saved back then were looking forward to him that was to come. And they didn't exactly know how it would be, but they believed on him who was to come, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And as time went on, more scripture was revealed. You have that precious passage, Isaiah 53, that tells how he was going to suffer and die. And you have Psalm 22, where it tells about his hands and his feet would be pierced. And then as it went on, there was more and more revealed, until Christ finally came. And then he went to the cross and he died. And that's how sinners are saved, by what Christ accomplished on the cross. Because what Christ did when he went to the cross, he said what Paul said about Onesimus, a runaway slave. He wrote to Philemon, his master, and said, receive him as you would receive me. And if he owes you anything, put that on my account and I'll pay it. Runaway slaves usually took some money when they went. And Paul knew that. And he said, if he owes you anything, you put it on my account and I'll take care of it. Let me tell you, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he said concerning every believer who ever lived or ever would live to the Father, put his account on mine, I'll pay it. That's what he did on the cross. He paid the whole debt on the cross. And that's why the cross is so essential in our preaching. That is the core of the gospel, and that's what one has to believe in order to be saved. And Christ saves sinners, and God the Father never saved another sinner any other way than through the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ, then, is the doctrine of salvation by a crucified Christ. Did you know that Christ could not save a sinner without the crucifixion? You say, but Christ was holy. Christ was perfect. Christ was God's Son. Christ came down from his Father. Yes, he did. But if there'd have been any other way to save lost sinners than by Christ dying on the cross, don't you think God had enough sense to know that and would have used it? No other way can a sinner be saved than through Christ crucified. If your sins are upon your head this morning, don't you ever think that you're going to be able to get them cleansed any other way than through Jesus Christ and his crucifixion on the cross. That's the only way. He never saved a sinner any other way, and he never will. He won't save you that way. He never saved anybody else that way, and he never will save anyone other than through the blood of his cross. That's the only way you can be saved. The doctrine of the cross is that reconciliation. You ever been angry at somebody? I've been so mad at people sometimes I could have fought. Wonderful when somebody comes along when there's conflict and can make reconciliation so that you are in friendship again. That's what Jesus Christ did with the Father. We were alienated from him because of our sins, and God was angry. He's angry with every sinner every day. But Christ, through the blood of his cross, reached up as it were into heaven and took a hold of the Father with one hand and took a hold of the believing sinner with the other and brought us together in perfect peace and harmony. That's what the gospel of the cross of Christ actually does. Therefore, it is by the cross of Christ that we receive righteousness, pardon, atonement, the forgiveness of sins, and every grace that I need to take me as a sinner from this place to the right hand of God the Father in perfect peace and harmony. All my sins are forgiven. All my errors are canceled out. All my lostness has been removed. I am now a child of God by grace, not by anything I've done, but by what Christ did on the cross. And I have all those blessings in a spiritual horn of good and plenty. And they're mine through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Therefore, sinners can only be saved by what Christ has done on the cross. The cross is the sweet aroma to God the Father. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love. Paul is talking about how we as Christians are to live. How are we to live? Not in anger and fighting and resentment and bitterness. That's the way of the world. And walk in love. Live in love. As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, now note this carefully, an offering and a sacrifice to God. But notice what he says, a sweet-smelling savor. The aroma of Christ's cross is the perfume of heaven. Everything there smells of what Christ did on the cross. And everyone there is giving honor and glory right now to Jesus Christ because of what he did. And that's what we as his people do here on this earth. We don't do it as well as they do it, but we do it. We give honor and glory to his holy name because he has produced through his cross a sweet-smelling perfume that scents heaven and will throughout all the ages. We will smell that perfect perfume of Christ and his sacrifice. Therefore, Paul says, beware of those who teach a false gospel. Now turn in Galatians chapter 1. The gospel is so important to Paul that he's always hammering away at it when he writes these churches. You can be sure he preached the same thing when he was present with them. Notice with me in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's read 6 as well. I marvel that you are so soon. The Galatians had fallen in with legalism, that somehow or other you could get saved by the law. And Paul wrote this letter in a very mean attitude, if you please. And he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace. Tarry on that word for a moment. Grace. Grace is a gift. But it's not a gift like men give. This gift is unmerited. Sometimes I give my wife a gift, and it's a peace offering. That's not what we got here. This is a gift, and those who receive it have no merits whatsoever. In fact, all we have is demerit. We're sinners, lost and ruined. And Christ gives us grace, gift without merit, unmerited favor. And so he goes on to say, the grace of Christ, you've left that which was such a bounty for another gospel, which is not another, not really, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That is, change it. When you pervert something, you make it so that it cannot be used for what it's supposed to be used for. During the Normandy landings in Europe, the paratroopers were dropped in the night, and they were to destroy certain guns and positions and hold bridges. They had a tough job. And one of the guns they found was a huge gun. Wasn't in position, but they found this gun, more or less by accident. Wasn't where it was supposed to be. And they had thermite grenades. And a thermite is a chemical that burns at a tremendous temperature. It'll melt iron or steel, anything like that. So what they did, they dropped a grenade down the barrel of that huge gun, and it just welded the breech so that it could never be used. That's perverting. That's perverting. That gun was perverted from nobody could use it because it was welded shut. So he says here, these people would pervert the gospel of Christ. They would pervert the cross of Christ. They would make the cross to be a piece of wood that you could worship. No, that's wrong. But that's what they do. Then he goes on to say in verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. I don't care, he says, what it is, where you got it. I don't care how many degrees it's got behind its name. I don't care if it's been approved by the Vatican. I don't care if it came from Jerusalem. I don't care about any of that. If it's any other gospel, and they preach that unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That is, any individual that will do that, let him be accursed. And that means let him be sent to hell. Paul was real serious about this thing of the gospel. As I said before, he says in verse 9, before, so I say now again, if any man preach, if any man teach, if any man and declare, if any man hold any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So there's a double curse on anybody that preaches one of these other gospels. And those that do are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, let's think about these enemies for a little bit. Anyone or any group, you stay with me, which denies the doctrines of the cross of Christ. I'm talking now about salvation by grace. Salvation by a pure and a sovereign gift. Salvation to sinners that are totally depraved and need to be regenerated and need to be converted and need to come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith in order to be saved. If somebody preaches unto you a gospel different than that, let him be accursed. He is an enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. An enemy is any person who feels hatred for or fosters harmful designs against or engages in antagonistic activities against another. That's what an enemy is. That's what enemies do. And when anybody tampers with the cross of Jesus Christ, they're an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. And they're preaching a false gospel, and you're not to receive them in any way. You're not to bid them Godspeed. You're not to receive them into your home. Those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ are enemies of the cross. Did you realize that God commands all men everywhere to repent? He doesn't issue that order or that commandment to a part of the human race, but he issues it to everyone. It's to me, it's to you, it's to everyone. And those that reject this, those that do not do this, are in a sense an enemy of Christ. They're an enemy of the gospel because we're commanded to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan himself is the arch enemy of the gospel of Christ and the cross of Christ. And Christ himself warned us against these kind of enemies. Did you remember that? Let me give you an example or two. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11. Jesus said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. He also said there would be false Christs. Who are these people? They're those people that claim to be Christ. And these false prophets are those that preach false Christ, false doctrine, false gospels. And they are cursed and they will be cursed. So we are to be extremely careful about these kind of things. When a man starts preaching false doctrine, that instant, you ought to cut him off. If you go to a church and a man preaches false gospel, you ought to get up and walk out. Because otherwise, you're putting your approval on that. And we have to recognize those things, and you have to be careful. Get it in your mind. If you go into that kind of a service, it's not a church, even though they may call it a church. You go into those kind of services, get up and leave. If you don't know it beforehand, get out of there. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now here were some false prophets. Here were some that hated the gospel and the cross of Jesus Christ. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. He was talking to his disciples. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? Jesus had taken 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and he had fed 5,000 people with it. Marvelous miracle. And how many baskets he took up? Neither the 7 loaves. This was a different account. He had 7 loaves, and he had 4,000 people. And he says, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? When he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He wasn't talking about bread. But that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine. That leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was false doctrine. Christ said, beware of that. That's those individuals that are enemies of the cross of Christ. Then understood this, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They got it. They finally got it. They said, he's not talking about leaven in bread. He's talking about leaven in doctrine. And that is an enemy of the cross of Christ. And these individuals that Paul was writing about inject their doctrine into everything. And they try to make you believe that that is the way that you should worship and that's what you should believe. Well, it's important then for us to recognize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world. The cross and the gospel are practically synonymous. We're to believe the gospel. If we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to be saved. If we look at the cross of Christ as the doctrine of Christ and believe it, we'll be saved by it because it is the way of salvation and it's the only way of salvation. You can never be saved by what you do. You can never be saved by what you are. You must be saved on the merits of what Christ is, who he is, and what he's done. And if you do that, you're embracing the cross of Jesus Christ, and you're not an enemy to it. And that's what I hope that the Lord will bring you to do, that you will know Christ as your Savior, and then you will not be an enemy of the cross of Christ.